Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, we are going to bring in Jared Sandler because it's baseball time in Texas. It's going to be our baseball power hour. Jared, welcome to the program.
Thanks, guys. It's great to see you.
Yay!
I haven't been in studio in a little bit.
That's the spirit, especially around such a holy time.
That's right. Yeah, it's very fitting that you you had me after your Germany trip a few weeks ago, whenever, a few hours before the start of Yom Kippur. We can all repent for our sins together.
I wanted to give you an opportunity to labor before Yom Kippur started. All right. So I think, and I know you have talked with G-Bag and Sean and RJ, and they talked with Brett Boone this morning, but is it fair to assume, I'm of the assumption that they might have a managerial search, but the managerial search is over and Skip Schumacher is your next manager?
So I guess I'd say this, I'm not like, there's no wink winking, like I'm going to say one thing. I think we all believe that Skip Schumacher is the leading candidate by a long shot, but I don't know for sure, right? I don't know what he wants. I don't know, you know, if this is what the front office ultimately will want. I think here's what I'd say about Skip Schumacher. He is very highly regarded. He is in a place of leverage because it's not like he needs to beg for a job. I mean, you know, we talked about it. I'm sure you guys have discussed it. He opted out of a managerial job.
Yeah. Like
he turned down an option that was his for a third year with the Marlins. They wanted him.
Because they weren't up to his standard.
So I think that, you know, the Rangers will have conversations with Skip Schumacher and figure out, you know, is this a fit? Is this a match? And, you know, I think a lot of people like to try and connect dots. Skip Schumacher has a son who is starting his senior year of high school, or started, but he's committed to play baseball at TCU. How much does that play? I don't know, because when you're managing a major league team, it's not like you get, maybe you can have lunch with his son a little more often, but you know, it's a time commitment, right? So, I think that what I'll say about Skip is he is so well thought of around the organization, and in his 1 year with the Rangers, he is very well thought of. And a lot of people are really impressed that when he was brought in, it was understood that he could be the next manager, and he understood the stigma there. And he wasn't around too much to cast a distracting shadow. And I think a lot of people really appreciated the way he went about his role and his relationship, understanding what the conversation was surrounding him.
What did he do?
It's a good question. I think, for lack of a better word, maybe consulted, or advised. You know, that was his title. It's tough to know, but you know, he was around and he got a lay of the land, and obviously brought a perspective that was made up of experiences outside of this organization, both as a manager and then also as a player, player for the Cardinals. You know, listen, I don't like the Cardinals as much as the next Ranger fan, but the Cardinals have a great reputation of having, you know, a way of doing things and teaching things. And maybe that's gotten away from them a little bit, but it certainly was alive when Skip was playing there.
Was it, but was it like a lot of conversation, consulting, maybe with Chris Young?
I think it was more front office level. Okay, yeah, gotcha. I think so. That's not to say that Skip didn't have conversations with the coaching staff, but I think, you know, his conversations were probably more directly with the baseball operations department.
That's beneficial to understand. He has that connection there.
Now, the next question, and what would happen, let's say if it was Schumacher, what would happen with Boone and Maddox? Am I wild to think they would do everything to keep Maddox and they would thank Boone for his service?
I think, so here's the unique thing with Skip. He was around for a year, so he got to kind of observe. I think there are people who, maybe they realized it. Maybe they were smart enough to know that this was a possibility. Maybe they didn't. But, you know, there probably were indirect job interviews, so to speak.
Okay.
You know, just from observation standpoint. You know, I think with Mike Maddox, you know, he lives in Fort Worth. He's maintained, you know, that is his residence even when he wasn't working for the Rangers. So
it could kind of be a similar situation.
Well, yeah, and I think he's at a point where does he want to learn a new manager, right? He and Boach got along so well. And what's interesting about that is Maddox wasn't Boach's guy, right? You know, I think Boach, and I could be wrong, I think he would have loved for Dave Rigetti to be the pitching coach. That was his guy. But, you know, there was a mutual respect and they ended up, I think, getting along, you know, personally, but also professionally super well. Does he want to learn a new manager? Does he want to fit in with a new manager? You know, I think that's a question at his, in his career, he'd have to ask. And then, you know, for Brett Boone, what does he want, right? You know, this wasn't a part of his plans necessarily. So what does he want? What does Skip want? And then for Skip, who does he want to bring in? You know, I think for any manager, you need to have a say in this, right? So who are his guys and who would he feel, who does he believe in? I think it would be, it's too tough to know, you know, because he had 2 years with the Marlins. So you can look at his Marlins staff and say, oh, maybe this guy, but who really knows?
Now, I know we all love Bruce Bochy, what he's done for the game of baseball, what he did specifically for the Texas Rangers. With that in mind, I hope this question makes sense. Does him no longer being the manager perhaps benefit the Rangers in terms of moving them forward a little quicker? Because it feels like they're going to go a decidedly different direction without Bochy than they would have otherwise. And that might just be my opinion, is I thought they would try to reload more or less kind of what they were doing.
You feel like what they did was too much of was the guys that won the World Series.
Yes,
correct. They were like, we'll give you every chance.
And I understand why he was loyal to those people. I really, really do. But I wonder if we were going to see kind of a redux of that in 2026, whereas now it feels like we're going to go in a maybe dramatically different direction. Is that perhaps better long term for the team?
Well, I think just like in any sport, when we talk about roster building, especially let's say football, right? You know, you got a 4-3 defense, maybe you got a 3-4. There's certain guys that fit better in this scheme or that scheme. I don't think it's any different for leadership. I think that there are certain, whether it's the manager, a coach, someone on the baseball ops side, you know, not everyone can be everyone or be everything to everyone.
Sure.
And so I think, you know, the front office basically, you know, made the decision with Boach that maybe where he is in his career and his desires don't match up at this point with where the Rangers are and where they want to go. So I think that's definitely possible, Kevin. I think that's ultimately it was the burden of the front office to make that determination, because you don't just let a Hall of Fame bound manager go. I try to make this clear with G-Bag and Sean and RJ. I've worked with three managers now. And whether you agree, whether it was on them or other people's fault, fair, unfair, right or wrong, the first two, when they left, it was becoming a tougher situation to bear. That's not the case with Bruce Bochy. He was still beloved. It wasn't like he lost the clubhouse. It wasn't like, oh gosh, there's no way that this is tenable. That wasn't the case. So to make that decision, you know, I think the front office had to come to the conclusion that you kind of inferred there.
So it wasn't unbearable. He saw the direction they wanted to go and he didn't want to go in that direction, and or also because they said mutually he didn't fit the direction they went ready to go in.
It's a good question. I don't know. I can't. It would be unfair for me to say being in those conversations, but
you could see how someone might infer that.
Sure. Yeah. I think. You know, I know that Bruce Bochy had a desire to come back, but maybe it just wasn't the right situation after, you know, discussing some of the details with Chris Young and whomever else was a part of those conversations.
Did he have the roster for success this year? That's frustrating. That's a frustrating question.
Here's what I'm going to say, and Jared might very much disagree with
because
me.
Because I personally feel like Bruce Bochy's like, I don't care who you give me. I'm going to try and figure out how to win. And he probably was frustrated that he couldn't figure it out this year.
I think on the field they had a roster that could win, but perhaps in the clubhouse they did not.
Yeah, and you know, there's been a lot of talk about the clubhouse, right?
Thanks a lot, Kevin Pillar.
I will argue it started before that just because of the different nature of, and like, I'm just going to use him as an example. This doesn't have to be good. This doesn't have to be bad. But fair to say that Marcus Semien and Corey Seager are vastly different people in terms of the way they might or might not interact with the rest of the team.
Well, I think there are more similarities than
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting.
Both guys are intensely committed to their routine and what they feel like is best for them to do to get ready. And listen, I know Marcus's last couple of years haven't, you know, been up to par, but you know, he had a really impressive career, and what he had done was obviously a big part of that. I don't think anyone would argue that Corey Seager isn't ready to play, you know, and he does for the time he's missed. Let's first of all, the appendectomy, like, what's that? That's, you know, that's bad luck, right?
Yeah.
You take that away, he was going to play, you know, a pretty decent amount. And I don't think people see, you know, we always talk about, he missed 2 weeks. I don't think people realize all the work he put in to play through stuff, right? So their routines have both worked for them.
Individually.
But I think that, here's what I would say, and there have been a lot of conversations about this, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Seager is indisputably one of the best hitters in the world. I don't think that the question it should be, well, why is he not doing more of this or that in the clubhouse? Is you got 26 active players. That's 25. And let's separate position players and pitchers. You got 12 other position players who can check some of those boxes. Let Corey Seager be Corey Seager, which is one of the best hitters in the world and the best player on this team. It's about finding the right 13-player mix or 26-player mix. I don't think it needs to be put on one guy.
Right. Kind of like with Luka, right? You're trying to find the team that fits with him.
I can see that.
I can understand that.
And there's no doubt, guys. I'll say there's no doubt that the clubhouse mix, the clubhouse dynamic, was not something that was super additive or positive
right
towards getting the most out of this group.
Okay.
And this is
but
not,
it's tough to pin down, right? You can't look at it and say, well, he chases too much in the clubhouse, right? You can look at a guy's hitting pro. So it's just tough to find that mix.
Is this, and this kind of stems off of Corey Seager, but this can be about any year of the clubhouses that you've seen. Is it tough? Or do you think we've bypassed the era of like what Pillar talked about is let's all go to the movies and like do this or that together? Because fair to say that that's not, Corey Seager's not going to be the guy that's like, everyone come watch a movie at my place.
Well, so, but like, it's interesting that people have come to that conclusion. I would tell you that
if you disagree, please,
Corey Seager's not the guy. Listen, Corey Seager loves his couch.
Yeah.
Okay. He loves hanging out on his couch. Those guys in that clubhouse, they love Corey Seager.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those guys, they flock to Corey Seager, like as a friend, as a person. They know that he's got his own routine. And some guys might look at him and say, well, this is the best hitter on the team. Maybe I should try that. And maybe they do. And maybe they realize it is or isn't for them. Right. You know, the fantasy football stuff, like, people might think it's silly, but like, you got a long season.
Yeah.
And come July, fantasy football talk starts taking place. And then come August, you got drafts. And these guys are mock drafting like crazy.
Yeah.
And he is right. I mean, no one loves fantasy football maybe more than Corey Seager and then Patrick Corbin, right? So the days of guys going out and, you know, I just watched the Cowboys documentary, The White House.
Yeah.
The pre-social media era is different. Now, do I think that it's beneficial? Team dinners and yeah, absolutely. That stuff can't be forced. You can't force people to do things. And I think that there are players in a clubhouse whose role, Austin Hedges. Like, Austin Hedges is the greatest. We just came from Cleveland. Tom Hamilton, their radio guy, said, Austin Hedges is the most valuable 150 hitter I've ever seen.
Hey, got a right? walk yesterday.
Yeah.
He was on base, baby.
So, there are guys who, they're connectors. And again, it goes back to not everyone can be everything. But you've got to check these boxes. And to me, you got one of the best hitters of the world. And, you know, listen, Aaron Judge, he's a unicorn. He does check all those boxes, right? But I don't think it should be a knock on Corey that it's not his personality to be a connector.
I bring up Barry Bonds a lot in that because Boach coached Barry Bonds also. A guy who was, he had two lockers. He had a recliner next to his locker. He was very individual. Amazing hitter.
Yeah.
For reasons that we will not discuss right now.
Mm.
And also a great hitter before that as well. But I bring him up a lot, and somehow Bochy was able to navigate that and still have wins and success there. They didn't have the World Series with Bonds. But, you know, I bring him up in that conversation because there were other people there that were able to be the vibe. You know, like some people are this and some people are there for vibes and some people are there for that. And everybody needs to kind of know their role. And in 23, everybody did know their role.
Was Marcus Semien beloved in that clubhouse?
Yeah, Mark, I think there is that, like, where they differ, they're both the different personalities, right? But yeah, I think there's a ton of respect and admiration for what Marcus has achieved and what he stands for and who he is. And like people see him, you know, he's got a starting line. He's got four kids with a fifth on the way. And he like finds a way to balance being dad and being baseball player. And like all those things.
He had kiddos at Sandlot.
Yeah.
After they won the World Series, he had all of them up there on the.
let me tell you something. You guys like cards and stuff, right?
Yeah.
If you can find a way to get baseball cards for his two oldest kids, maybe could be worth some money one day. The youngest boy is a little too young. I mean, you know, he probably gonna be a stud too. You know, Marcus and his wife both were professional athletes, so yeah. That's so good.
Look out, yeah.
No, Marcus is absolutely they both. That's the thing. I think there's been a lot made of this that wasn't made in 23. Why? Because the team was winning.
Yeah.
That is not the reason why the Rangers have come up short the last 2 years.
They couldn't hit the damn ball, Kevin.
Yeah, well, maybe one of the other additions they made wasn't so great. All right, so we can talk about that with Jared Sandler. We'll continue the Rangers Power Hour next right here on The Fan.
3-2. Swinging a ball hit in the air to left center field. Rodriguez back on the track at the wall. He reaches out and that...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Ball is out of here! Just beyond the wall in left center field, Corey Seager leaves the yard, and the Rangers on top 2-1.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We continue our baseball power hour with Jared Sandler. Now, I know the start of this question might sound kind of jokey. It most certainly is not. What, if anything, can be done to protect Wyatt Langford and his obliques? Specifically, just because you saw three times this year, I believe it happened last year as well. And I know we kind of had some fun with it of like which oblique is the most important. But for a player that, like, I think we all have hopes and dreams that he'll be the next, like, franchise player for this thing. Is there anything that can be done to be careful with that? That doesn't alter his style of play, I guess.
So this is becoming the Tommy John equivalent for a hitter, and thankfully not as severe, but like a lot of hitters, especially guys who swing hard, you're seeing more of this. My amateur medical answer is the off season will help.
Yeah.
Right. Because I, you know, this, if I remember correctly, he had a little side thing in spring training and then had a side thing, I think, that happened against the Cubs at Wrigley, maybe the second game of that three game series. And he dealt with it on both sides. I think typically, you know, it for a hitter, it's maybe that front side oblique, but Wyatt dealt with it both sides. So to what degree was he playing through that and compensating? You know, I don't know, but I'm hopeful that it's just the off season, right? Because you don't want a guy to have to change what he does, like swinging. And he definitely took a step forward this year, but like, I wonder,
not as big of a step as I had hoped, I guess I'll say.
And to what degree was, you know, he held back by the fact that he was dealing with two obliques that, you know, weren't close to 100%.
Do we have a comp for him now after because Trout was the comp by Mike beforehand, and I don't know if that was fair or not. And Mike, you know, he can change his mind on that if he wants to. But is there anybody that you could look at in around the league that you've seen that you're like, that's very similar to him, or is Trout really still the only one with the speed, the arm, the, you know, all the things that he does?
Yeah, we like almost never compare guys who we really like to like the
Nemo.
Yeah. But like, no, I mean, Trout is to me, the apt comparison, the athleticism, the body type, the explosion, the power speed combo. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you could find others, but you know, kind of that bowling ball type of build. Mm-hmm. There is some similarity there, and that's encouraging. I know that Mike Trout has had some injury issues here recently, but you know, he had basically a decade of dominance, elite, right? And if you told me that the Rangers could get a decade of, you know, that from Wyatt Langford, and then maybe have to deal with some hurdles along the way, I would say, unlike the Angels, I hope the Rangers would be able to take advantage of that decade, right? The Angels just weren't able to.
obviously significantly less hype, but this is somebody who I feel like turned a lot of heads in spring training. We fell in love with him. We've seen glimpses of him in the last month of the season. How do you feel about Alejandro Osuna, both the player and then maybe his short and long-term spot with the Rangers?
Yeah, I think, you know, he definitely goes to spring training, not as a surprise who's going to be the talk of camp, but as someone who I think will be looked at to contribute, especially, I don't know what it looks like, you know, when the Rangers say we're going to cut payroll, that doesn't mean that they can't add good players. It just means that for every dollar in, there probably needs to be a dollar and a half out, or, you know, whatever the formula would be.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that typically when you've got a guy in your 40-man roster who's a pre-arbitration player and thus, you know, not someone who's making a lot of money, you'd love for that guy to be able to contribute, and that guy's probably going to get opportunities. I think the question...
Starting right fielder?
Well, I think the question for Alejandro Osuna and starting right fielder would suggest that there's no Adolis Garcia.
Correct.
And let's you know, just call a spade a spade. It's very likely that Adolis Garcia has played his last game with the Rangers.
Are they just going to non-tender him then? And
well, yeah,
that?
I think the challenge with Adolis, if you are trying to cut... And this is where, again, if you're cutting payroll, and I'm just trying to get confirmation of the number here, but, you know, Adolis had his extension come to an end this year, you know, he'd probably make in arbitration in the teens and millions, right? So can you get a team, if you're going to trade him, that team's got to be willing to pay him that. Now, it would be a one-year deal because he becomes a free agent and clear of arbitration after this upcoming year. Maybe there's a team that looks at Adolis and says, hey, you played great right field last year, which you did, and Agreed. We think that we can get you back to closer to that 2023 form. And if there's a team that's pretty fired up about that, maybe they are willing to take that on. I just think that, you know, Adolis has had a great run with the Rangers. He will always be revered and beloved by the fans. And some of the fans who Agreed. Became frustrated with him, hopefully, you know, in time will recognize what this guy brought. But I just think that that's a spot where if you're cutting payroll, that would be a likely changing the guard.
We've talked about this quite a bit, Corey and I, on the show. I realize you couldn't have won the World Series without any of the players. I get how that works. But if you're saying, like, there's a handful of players that you really could not have won that World Series without, Adolis Garcia is 100% in that handful.
Nathan Eovaldi.
Yes.
And Jordan Montgomery.
Absolutely. And Corey Seager. Oh, okay, I think I would put in that list.
Can I add some? Yeah. Can I add four names that just kind of tie in our conversation last segment? Will Smith, Travis Jankowski, Brad Miller, Austin Hedges. Rangers don't win the World Series without those four.
They maybe all had not. A
maybe
they all had a moment.
Something. I'm not even talking about a moment on the field. I'm talking about what they meant to that group in the clubhouse. Those guys were incredibly important.
Now, if we're talking about the clubhouse, and we talked with Boach about this past Wednesday, what has happened to the confidence of Josh Jung? And am I reading this incorrectly if I believe perhaps he will not be on the Rangers next year?
Well, and Josh is an interesting one because he's also arbitration eligible, but not going to command the type of salary that Adolis Garcia will command, just given the way the dynamics of that all. Josh is a Scott Boras client, so Scott Boras clients don't typically sign extensions.
Yeah.
Now he's not coming off a great year though, so you know
The Rangers sign him to an extension?
They could.
No, I'm saying. Like, philosophically.
No. But I think whenever you got a guy who you know is likely to hit free agency, which is, you know, the Boras clients, then you're working on a clock.
Yeah.
And now you're wondering, all right, how can I maximize value? How can this, with all of these guys, right? The question is, how can this guy best serve the organization? I hate to frame it like that, but from a baseball operations standpoint, that's a big question they ask. And for a lot of guys, it's, that guy best serves the organization batting third and playing left field, or that guy. But sometimes it's, hey, maybe he best serves the organization, but let's look at what Nathaniel Lowe brought last year. They got Robert Garcia. Yeah. Now, I know some fans were kind of off on Robert Garcia because he had a rough stretch. The guy had a sub-3 ERA. If you tell me I can get a reliever with a sub-3 ERA, that guy's going to be in my bullpen, right? I'm not. Maybe he's not the closer. Maybe he's not the eighth inning guy. A sub-3 ERA plays. I'm not saying that's what you're getting for Josh Jung. I would hate to think that if Josh Jung wasn't a Ranger, that he would just, you know, be non-tendered. He's young. He was, you know, a few years removed from being the starting third baseman for the American League in the All-Star game. But I think they've got to ask themselves a question. How does he fit? And if they want to get more athletic or You know, they want to get more on base because that's Josh Jung. Even in his 2023 year, he wasn't a super high on base guy. He was a guy that, you know, had extra base hit pop. Well, last year he didn't really get on base and wasn't hitting for extra bases. So what is his path to being the guy that can contribute to this team? I think they got to ask that question, and is it attainable here?
Not just about Josh Jung, but this team in general.
Good defensive third baseman.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, and look, I thought the Rangers' defense, unless you have thoughts about that.
Listen, the Rangers defensively set a major league record for fielding percentage.
Was significantly better this year than it was last season, and it felt a lot more reminiscent of 2023 on the hitting front. Not just Josh Jung, but overall, is there going to be an overhaul in like plate discipline approach? Because if you look at when the Rangers fall to 0-1, I know that's disadvantageous, but they're in the bottom third of the league when it comes to average and everything when they're in an 0-1 count.
Yeah. No, and it's tough when you're not putting yourself in favorable positions to succeed, right?
As so, they frequently do not.
Right. I think it was frustrating. This year was frustrating on a number of levels. Corey, did you ask Kevin, did they have a roster that was fit to win? And they did, right? There's way too much talent. And also, even if the lineup didn't reach the bar that was set, which was a high bar, understandably so, I just mentioned best fielding percentage in Major League history in a single season. Whether you want to use that as the determining factor of how good a team was defensively, it is certainly a part of the story. They were outstanding defensively. We've talked ad nauseum about the pitching. They didn't need the hitting to be the best in baseball, right? If it was just average, they would be playing right now. We would not be having this conversation. Sure. I think that's kind of what's frustrating. And then when you really want to get granular and break down the hitting, the chase, and the feel within a game, like, hey, this guy's thrown 89 pitches through five innings or whatever. We can knock him out this inning. If we remain disciplined, and then it's a 5-pitch 1-2-3 inning, and now we got to see this guy in the seventh inning who's kicking our ass, right? So it's just little things like that, you know, it's not seen in the box score, but those are the things in the margins that help separate a good offense from a great offense from an elite offense, or in the other end of the spectrum, a good offense from maybe a slightly below average offense. Why, you know, the Guardians aren't good offensively.
Right.
But they do certain little things.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
That help them that maybe the Rangers didn't help themselves at times with this year.
Got two things here. One, sources. Ken Rosenthal's the sources, that is. Albert Pujols is believed to be the Angels owner. Artie Moreno's leading choice as the next manager.
Do you think that's because he's still on the payroll?
Probably.
And they're like,
so.
I'll get a discount.
As a part of the special services.
Yeah.
So let's stick with Young. Let's assume Seager's still around, you know, and
I don't think Corey Seager wants to be the manager of the Rangers.
No, me either. Third base is this Josh Smith's chance? Is that his place to be an everyday player?
Could be, but he...
Why would you do that? I'm sorry, Jared. Why would the Rangers go into the season thinking that, given the way the last two seasons have ended, though?
He's kind of declined by this mid-season?
Yeah.
I think, Josh Smith is, first of all, congrats to Josh and his wife, Claire.
Yeah.
They just had a baby girl.
Hey. Do you want us to hand out more congratulations?
Well, to...
To you,
Jared! Congratulations, dude!
I just set myself... I didn't mean to do that. Thank you, guys. I appreciate
Choppy
it.
Choppy said you knocked up two women.
Yeah, it's amazing that's where his mind went. Wonder what thoughts have crossed his...
That's the least surprising thing ever.
Right, yeah.
Huh? And for Choppy, that just made sense, you know?
And you know what? If my response was... Yeah, RJ, it was a mistake. You'd be like, oh, cool. All right. Cool. Seems like I tried that once. It didn't work out for me.
God.
Let's go back to Josh.
Yeah. So Josh, I think to y'all's point, like the versatility is there. He is definitely the type of guy who you feel like he fits on a winning team.
I do.
But he's got that second half swoon. Wasn't great, right? Sprinting through the finish line, unfortunately. Now he did end the season with an even 700 OPS, which is, you know, it ticked up a little bit at the end. But here's the thing that's interesting to me about Josh. 2 years ago, in a down year, right, for the team, not him, but in 2024, he hit lefties really well. He actually hit lefties better than righties. But this past year, he couldn't hit lefties, right? He had to be a platoon guy. So now, thankfully, from the platoon standpoint, you face more righties than lefties. But my question with Josh is he a platoon player? Is he a guy that can face lefties and righties? He might be better against righties than lefties, but can he be competitive against lefties? And then also, Josh definitely has a place. Again, when you're going to cut payroll, having a guy that can play multiple positions and play them well, you know, there's value there. I think the question is, is he an everyday fill in the blank? Is he an everyday this? Is he an everyday that? Or is he a guy that just is going to bop around? And Josh has said before, he's like, I don't like the excuse. Some guys say, well, my hitting has suffered because I play so many different positions. Josh has said on this radio station, that's BS for me. Maybe it's true for other, that doesn't work for me. That's not ever an excuse.
No matter where I stand in the field, I still stand in the plate the same, in the box.
Exactly.
The same spot.
We still wipe our butts, right? And so but he's got to, I think, do it for a full year. Now, does that mean that they aren't willing to give him that shot because, you know, they love the makeup and the work ethic? They very well might. But, you know, I think that there's still an element of that dangling carrot for him.
Now, if we're talking about full season performance, it feels like one of the biggest advancements that the Rangers made this season, even if the season didn't end where they wanted, was seeing a full season of really solid pitching from Jack Leiter. How confident do you think that makes him? And then y'all as fans and broadcasters, how confident does that make you in Jack Leiter going forward?
I thought some of the progression from Jack Leiter was really, really impressive. And whether it was his ability to get the car, you know, back in within the lanes in the middle of a start when he had a bad inning, or you know, the growth of the changeup, the fact that the pitch that I think a lot of people thought would be his best pitch has been maybe not the worst, but it hasn't come close to rediscovering its dominance, and that's the slider. The aptitude that he has, he obviously, the bloodline, like, helps, but, like, he just gets it. There's something about Jack, he gets it, right? Like, I talked to him after his final start, and he was fired up about that final start, but, like,
he doesn't have somebody in his ear that's saying excuses are okay either.
No,
he has somebody in his ear that's like, no, there's no room for excuses.
I hated it, but I loved it. After his start against the Astros, we all thought, like, this kid is running on fumes. I mean, he has not pitched this much ever in his life and never at this level, right? And, like, there are a lot of people, and scientifically they can discuss how one inning in the major leagues is more strenuous than one inning in AAA and one inning in whatever. He wore it after that Astros start. He's like, I let the team down. No, you didn't, dude. You didn't let the team down. But
that's leadership, but too.
The willingness to look in the mirror and just feel that, the competitiveness. Now, I can sit here and tell you that, and I've said this before, I've said it about Jack, I can't play both sides of the fence. Progression for baseball players, pitchers, position players, it's not always linear, right? But he definitely took a great step forward, and I think there's a lot of hope and expectation and excitement that he's going to continue to progress. And hearing him talk about the ways he can progress only make you want to buy in more, because he can really break it down and explain. Like, I asked, I was like, Jack, how excited are you about the year you had and the growth you had? He said, yeah, I'm excited because of the areas in which I came short, and understanding the roadmap to try and improve upon that next year. And just, like, the way he's wired, I just, you want to buy into the person.
Can I ask?
I absolutely agree with Jared on that.
Yeah, agreed. Now, somebody,
every time we've ever talked to him at spring training, those are the exact qualities phenomenal. I like.
I know we should probably ask about Jacob Latz, and I will, but I wanted to get your kind of on-the-farm opinions of David Davaio, I believe, and Jose Corniel. Like, where are they at in their progression? Because both had really good seasons in the Rangers minor league, but where are they realistically at in their progressions in vis-a-vis the big club?
Well, Jose Corniel was the minor league pitcher of the year in 23 and then got hurt in 24 and missed most of this year because of injury. You know, he made his major league debut in game 162, was in a tough spot, had a great first inning, and then, you know, coming back out in extras, he obviously gave up the walk-off. But I fully expect Jose Corniel to be, I mean, he's a starting pitcher, right? So now, same thing as Kamar Rocker and other conversations. He's coming off of Tommy John. He didn't have, I'm trying to look right now how many innings he threw. Let's see, 38 innings of competitive baseball this year. So he is not going to throw 150 innings. So does that mean that the Rangers find value for him in the bullpen this year and then get him back stretched out as a starter the year after? It's very possible. The Rangers are going to have to basically rebuild most of their bullpen. There's an opportunity there.
Right.
Jose Corniel, though, is, I think, a guy who they believe will be in their starting rotation in 2027. Whether it's in 2026, I think, is kind of the question I just asked based on the help or the health. David Davalio, thankfully, was healthy. And, you know, he's not like a baby. He's 23 years old. The way he progressed, and I'm just looking to see innings here split between high A and double A. You know, he ended up making 12 or 11 double A starts. He pitched over 100 innings this year. I don't know if he's a guy who is going to break camp with the Rangers. I think in a perfect world, and it's never perfect, but health-wise, you've got DeGrom, Eovaldi, Leiter, Latz, I think, right?
Okay, that's a logical question.
I think you've got to, you probably sign, let's say you sign a depth starter, a Patrick Corbin type. Kamar Rocker is still...
Because you didn't say Rocker as
Well, I think with Rocker, he's going to have to earn it again. I don't mean that in a negative, but, like, he showed this year flashes. He also showed he wasn't fully ready. There was still growth to be had. And so how does he look in spring? You tell me Kamar Rocker's in the rotation on opening day, not the opening day starter, but in the rotation. I'd say, yeah, I could see that. If you told me that he was in AAA, I'd say, yeah, I could see that. And let's not forget how little professional work Kamar Rocker had below the major leagues, right? He barely pitched in the minors, all things considered. So with David Davalio, my guess is he's not an opening day rotation guy, but I would, if he stays healthy, I'd fully expect to see him at the big league level next year. Now, remember, last spring, and we do this every year, and I'm guilty of it, as Emiliano Teodo. He's gonna, if he stays healthy, he's gonna be up. Well, he just didn't have the year that now there were some health issues, but so he's gotta do it, right? And sometimes when guys realize they're knocking on the door, that becomes a mental thing.
We always say, and I don't mean this as a joke, I feel like you know baseball probably better than just about anybody I know. Do you know the historical trends or what baseball tells us about the Tommy John person who came back and had their first big pitching output, like DeGrom, what their follow-up year looks like?
Well, yeah, I think a part of the challenge is that a lot of this is so inconsistent, but I think there are a lot of people who believe that, you know, you get 5 years. It, like when you have Tommy John, when you get a new UCL, you're getting a new fresh ligament. Your body is 30, however many years old, but your ligament maybe doesn't have the wear and tear that would be commensurate because it's new. That's not to say that it's the same as an 18-year-old, but it's not the same as a 37-year-old. So I think there are plenty of people who believe that Jacob DeGrom has a really good 2026 ahead of him because he now can build. Like 2025 is not supposed to be the flash year, right? Your first full year back. You know, he barely pitched at the major league level the year prior. It was just to get his toes wet.
Yeah.
So I think there are a lot of people who believe, a lot of people would say too, that it looked like he ran out of gas a little bit towards the end, which to be expected. The fact that he stayed healthy was huge. And then, listen, I know people's minds go to David Wells if you're of that era, or Bartolo Colon if you're maybe of a little bit of a you know, younger fan. Those guys are exceptions. The fact that their bodies were what they were, and make no mistake about it, Bartolo was a big guy. He was in incredible shape relative. I'm not saying he was perfect, but like he was a lot better condition than people thought or would have guessed.
For a big guy, yeah.
Jacob DeGrom is a supreme athlete, and that works to his advantage. He is like, we're talking elite. If you put him on a football field, you would be amazed at the things he could do. If you watched him play basketball, I'm sure the way he moves and the explosion, like I think that is something that is really working for him, as opposed to if he was just kind of a relative to other Major League Baseball players who are all exceptional athletes. If he was just an okay athlete with an okay body, maybe it has a shorter shelf life. I think people are really optimistic that 2026 is going to be better than 25 for him.
I know there's a lot of younger players we're keying in on. I would like to ask about two lefties. Will one continue to eat brisket sandos here in DFW? And also, will Jock Peterson, what happened there?
Well, yeah.
And what's the future?
Because that was a disaster.
Yeah.
It was not, you know, with Jock, the challenge is, let's just take Marcus Semien. You know, Marcus Semien did not have the offensive year that he would have wanted, that anyone would have wanted, right? I mean, he went from being in a leveraged spot in the lineup to being dropped down. Marcus Semien still was giving you great defense, and when he got on base, which obviously wasn't as much as you would have liked, but when he got on base, he was an asset. The problem with Jock Peterson is he's not an asset on the bases. He's actually like a good fundamental base runner. He's just not fast anymore.
Yeah.
And he's not playing in the field. Now, Jock post-injury was better, but wasn't, you know, like post-injury, he's still 706 OPS. So I wouldn't even say that like you would want that. You need Jock, and we were talking about this at the end of the year, whether Jock hits leadoff for you or not, you need Jock to give you the type of production where if you feel like, hey, we need to change things up, let's put Jock in the leadoff spot because he can be a great on-base guy, and he does work, like he does have good at-bats. He didn't pre-injury. I thought the at-bat quality post-injury was a lot better.
Yeah.
But they need Jock to hit the ball out of the yard, right? So Jock,
does
last
he need
year,
to work harder? I'm just going to go out on a limb and say this for myself. We talked about it. I know he's a fun-loving guy, but man, in spring training, was he D-ing around a lot. And,
and if you're winning and you're winning your at-bats,
yes,
and you're winning those things,
yes,
you can do that.
Yeah. No, that's fair, right? Like there are things that when you're producing, you get away with things. It would not be fair for me to comment on the work ethic because I do believe that he does work hard. If someone said that, hey, you're coming off a down year, can your body be in a better position to help you succeed over the course of a, you know, a 7.5 month season when you consider the work that is put in spring training. And honestly, it's 10 months. You know, these guys don't just take the whole offseason off.
Sure.
Then maybe, I mean, I just went here and I talked to you about how Jacob DeGrom and just how good a shape he is. It would be unfair for me to say that, well, the counter, you know, couldn't be true as well. So I'd say this, if Jock hit 30 home runs this year and had a good year, I probably would be like, no, nah, I mean, hey, it just,
that's, you know, what works for him.
That's why a lot of fans love him, because they're like, hey, he looks like you and me.
Yeah.
But
he
didn't. And so how can you get better? I think there are baseball elements to it, but I think there are also physical elements that would maybe, you know, be beneficial.
Did you get a vibe for how he fit in the clubhouse? Because I will say, just once again, perhaps there were rumblings that maybe he didn't fit in super well in the clubhouse either.
Yeah, I think it's, so one thing I'd say, and maybe you guys saw this in spring, sometimes clubhouses, even good clubhouses, can be clicky.
That,
you know, the pitchers talk to the pitchers.
Yeah.
The relievers really hang with the relievers, the position player. Because, you know, you, especially during spring, you spend the most time with your positional group.
Right.
Jock would talk to everyone.
Yeah.
Now, Jock is like ADD. Like, you can almost never get him sitting still unless he's playing cards.
Yeah.
And he'll just bounce around and talk to anyone. And he talks to the Spanish speakers. He talks to the English. You know, like, he breaks down the walls of, like, what would be a click.
The number one time we saw that was actually with Zach and Eric, because he was like blown away in a positive way by their interview. And he was like running around trying to talk to these guys.
Yeah. Hilarious.
I forget what they were at, like favorite hot dog or something about hot dogs. But yeah, I think it's tough when you're a new player. And Jock wasn't just underperforming. He was like really bad.
Historically bad.
He was really bad. Now he didn't like show up pouty to the field or anything, but I think it's probably tough for you to like have an impact. Past teams, like teams that Jock has been on, like talking to guys, because I'll say this, Jock has never turned down an interview, but Jock isn't like, you know, at first Jock, it was a little tougher to connect with Jock. It wasn't until, you know, there was time where, oh, okay, we found some common ground. We could talk football or whatever. But Jock is everything to his teammates, but like he pours himself to his teammates, not so much to us. And that's okay, right?
Sure.
But I think it's tougher for him to be the guy he wants to be, because the guy that other guys said he was, who played for him previously, were like, yeah, I don't know how he is to you, but man, we love Jock, right? And I think it was a little tougher probably for him to be that guy.
Somebody did ask about Brock Porter and our future there, Kevin.
He's no longer a starter, right? Like, yeah, he's going to ever make it, and that's a big
Is our it's rotation going to look like Evaldi, DeGrom, Bradford, Leiter, Lats? Is that what we
Well, I'd say I'd caution you on Bradford just because he's probably not back. I mean, you know, based on when he had Tommy John, you know, you're looking at post All-Star break at the earliest. And then again, some guys, when they immediately come back from Tommy John, they can be productive right away or they can be inconsistent. Like, look at Christian Javier for the Astros. He came back, he had a little bit of runway, right? It wasn't like a DeGrom, hey, you're just going to make 3 starts in September. He had a little bit of runway to ease in, but they still would give him an extra day. And the results just weren't exactly the same. They were inconsistent. So I think you got to look at Cody Bradford as 2027, and whatever you get out of him in 2026, you're pumped about it. Because I just think it's tough to put the pressure and expectation on a guy who's not going to be ready from Tommy John until All-Star break or shortly thereafter.
Do you think Brock Porter's ever going to pitch in the big leagues for the Rangers?
Man, I really hope so. Now, you know, he's still young, right? How old's Brock Porter? You guys know?
If you had a guess. 23?
22.
Okay.
22. He'll turn 23 in June. He's still young. There are plenty of examples of guys who they just get off to a really, really rough and rocky start and find, you know, they click. Someone gets to them, right?
Sure.
It's not with Brock, from everything I've heard, and because he hasn't been around, you know, hasn't been in big league camp. I haven't gotten to know him a ton. I had a conversation with him a couple years ago, seemed like a good kid. But talking to people, it's not a lack of willingness. It's, you know, maybe some of it's between the ears, right? He had a good year last year, right? I think it was a step forward, but it's a step forward as a reliever. I'm just looking, you know, he didn't make a single start last year.
Hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that he can't build on that and become a starter again.
Yeah.
But I definitely think he's, yeah. You know, he's not, I don't think he's like a top 30 prospect for the Rangers anymore, which isn't the end all be all, but that.
It's disappointing given it, the yeah, way it.
And that's fair, yeah. Right? You know, I think it's fair to say that we were, I think the hope was when Brock Porter was drafted at this time, going into the 2026 season, we would be, you would ask about Brock Porter the way you asked about David Davalio and Jose Corniel, and we're not.
Yeah.
And so I think that's obviously disappointing.
Kevin, we didn't even get a chance to get into Kyle Schwarber and Pete Alonso. Do you think there's a chance we can convince Jared to come back someday and talk to us again?
Maybe in another week. But we have to get it knocked out before the spring.
I think,
or else then we're doomed.
I always love talking to you guys. It's great being back. It's great seeing you guys.
This is awesome, man.
Thank you very much, Jared. And I know this is a very busy time for you, so we appreciate your time, Barry.
No, always. I'm thinking of all the popcorn I've spilled in those two seats over the years, and I haven't spilled.
I know how it always. I knew who to blame.
Well, the morning guys had it the hardest because they had to show up and clean up my mess.
Yeah, no, trust me. We lived in a house with you that we got blamed for being dirty. Yeah. So I'm aware. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is Jared Sandler right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors.
It's going to be some Would You Rather Cowboys edition. Ooh. Next on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.